Okay, guys, let's get a move on. If you weren't around last week, there are some copies of the Bible reading that we worked on and a Wordle. If you've not come across these things, they're a sort of very rough and ready way of checking what the important words are in a piece of text if you use them properly. And it's fairly easy to pick out what the focus is in that particular passage. Yeah, Jade. You were here, but somewhere else, weren't you? You were doing kids' work. Yeah. Okay, so they're there. I suggest you do. Well, you can look at them if you want to. I'm going to refer to this sheet. This sheet is the result of the issues wall we did. What I've done is I've tried to do a classification, but on our principle of being tentative, I've left it to you to argue with my classification, so you can sort it and cut it and dice it any way that you want to. We'll refer to that in a moment. The thrust that we're looking at right now, the focus that we're taking, is that I've been sort of provoked and challenged by the way in which when I talk to people, they tend to talk about trying to be like Jesus, trying to be a disciple. And while I think that's a useful way to talk, because certainly being a disciple involves effort, we're not intended to float to heaven on clouds of ease. If all there is trying, then some of us are a disaster. You know, there's got to be more to it than that. That thing was sort of working hard in my head. And over the summer, I had the delight of borrowing Mark Hine's electric bike. Right, I've often wondered about having an electric bike. It is heavy, and while my nephew Ethan was with me, Ethan's strength is increasing from year to year. For a few years, we've been cycling to Chippenham and back, and originally, when we raced, I would beat him, and then we were pretty much evenly matched. Now is fairly hard work. He's a rugby player and he's toughening up, and as you know, he does his exercise in fairly strenuous temperatures. The balance has changed, and he had my bike and I had the electric bike. And when his sister had got fed up anyway, and she'd come back in the car with Wendy from Chippenham, and as we were riding back, we came out onto the road and we're coming up close to Derry Hill, to Red Hill actually. Red Hill's the one that goes up over the A4, Derry Hill's the one that comes up this side. Same hill, but different routes. I said to him, I said, Ethan, do you want to swap bikes? You know, but no, I can do it, Grandad, he said. And so we started off, and he was pounding away, and I was pounding away. And then I would switch the electric factor on, and I would come wee up beside him and overtake, and then I would turn it off, and off again, and then he would push ahead, and then on again and come whizzing up. Well, he was getting quite cross by the time we'd finished this. And I said to him when we got up there, I said, you could change over. But, you know, that to me is what we're talking about, life in the spirit. You know, if I'd have stopped pedalling, I'd have stopped going. Right? And when you switch the electric on, particularly if you do it when you're standing still and you put the pedal down, it's like having a little nudge up the bum, which doesn't take over from your effort, but it certainly adds to it. And that seems to me that it's within the nature of our walk with God, our life with God, that the Holy Spirit doesn't take over and allow us to float along with no effort. And I know that's what some of us look for, and it's certainly what I would prefer. Yeah? So I just go on living my self-indulgent pattern, making excuses for everything that doesn't work in my life, and I expect the Holy Spirit to do it. But most of the time, it's real pounding effort, but with an added dimension of the Spirit that works according to the way that we work. Yeah? You can guarantee, I think, that if the Holy Spirit isn't around to help you, it's possibly... let me stay with the tentative thing. It's something worth thinking about. If you find that the Holy Spirit isn't around to help you, then it may be that your orientation, the direction you're facing, isn't right. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Last week, we focused on a paragraph from Romans chapter 8, which is not the easiest going Bible passage to deal with. Some of you will have your scripts from last week. And the bit that we focused in on was this: those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. And we looked at some of the characteristics of the flesh here. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit, with a capital S, some of the characteristics over here, have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. So the flesh desires one set of things, Spirit desires another set of things. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Okay, interesting, isn't it? The flesh cannot submit to God's law. Couple of reasons for that. You can look at it from either end. One of the reasons, submitting to God's law involves effort. Okay? The flesh can't submit to God's law because it's weak. In fact, if you wanted the key characteristic of flesh, of our human body, our human resources, our mental makeup, our will, our attitudes, it would be that they are weak. And have got a tendency to take the line of least resistance. And so one reason is that they're weak. The other reason is that they are hostile to God. Okay? If we are left to run our life the way we want to, by and large, we will be altruistic, we will be kind to other people when it makes us feel good, and when it doesn't make us feel good, we won't. There's been discussion in the papers this week about happiness, and inevitably they talk about the fact that happiness is often connected with being good to other people, with altruism. But they point out that one of the things that that makes us be good to other people is that we feel good about it. Yeah? So that's all to do with the flesh. Have a think about it. I'm certainly not at the end of telling you everything you need to know about the flesh. I'm at the end of telling you everything I know about the flesh and the Spirit this morning, and no doubt as we go on I'll have some other things that come to mind. Now, I wanted to pull back. I'm having a tendency, got a bit of a tendency to do this at the moment, I know, but I'm sort of in reflective mode and I'm reflecting on what we do during our sung worship time. Before I go there, I just want to comment on last Wednesday. For those of you who were there, it was really great to see so many. I'm not sure how much we want to encourage more people to come on the basis that we'll have to put a balcony in or something if we have many more in here, or have to think about venues. But I thought it was an interesting time. I didn't get along the first time. I was really impressed with the presentation that came from Michelle. It was interesting. I'm sure that if I talked to other people who said that the talk really helped them, it would be different things that hit them to what hit me. But I was yet again impressed by the fact that somebody can come up and they can rotate the scripture from a different angle and it really does impact you. And there's one particular thing that Michelle said that I found myself working with for that time. The other thing is this, and this is actually me giving into, no, it's not me giving into the flesh, but it is certainly me getting off the topic. But I was thinking that the Wednesday meeting is really focused on the expressive pathway. That is where we sing, we tell God how we feel about him and so on. To some extent, we're a bit there on Sundays, but because every Sunday is a family Sunday with Day Spring, we don't get very focused. You know, it's inevitable. So on Wednesdays, we focus on the expressive pathway. And there are two sets of benefits for this. For those of you for whom the expressive pathway really counts a lot, so one of those is Wendy, for instance, you can be pretty sure that if we focus on singing to God, she's going to find a lot of benefit out of that. I know there are others of you for whom there are other pathways which are significant, and the benefit of being in that environment is that you explore things you don't normally explore. Now, what I wanted to do this morning was to pull out an old keynote presentation, which is pretty important to Day Spring's values, and talk about the many different pathways that we have to God. Some of us come to God through the Word and meet God in the Word. I'm one of those people. I meet God in the Word. There are those people who meet God in contemplation. There are those people for whom it's a small group, and therefore they're the people who get a buzz when we say turn around a little circle and pray for people. You know, that's what works for them. There are all sorts of different ways, but please don't think that just because it's not your natural way to operate, you don't need to go there. Because we need to try out all pathways and learn to operate in the pathways where perhaps we're weak. One of the things that the expressive pathway does allow for, mind you, the small group pathway does, well, all pathways should allow for this, is that the charismatic gifts of the Spirit, I can't afford to spend time listing or discussing those just at the moment, but it provides a forum for those things to come out, and we will be cultivating contributions and listening to things, finding out what people feel that God's saying. When somebody says they feel what God's saying, it doesn't mean to say they've got it right. Certainly if I say I feel that God's saying, it doesn't mean I've got it right. It means I feel. That's what it means. Yeah. And I might be right, and it might be helpful. We had a really nice little remarkable confirmatory thing on Wednesday, where there was something particularly about the morning which Andy brought, and Carol was able to say she had been feeling the same thing at the same time. Now, if you don't get somebody confirm what you're bringing, doesn't necessarily mean anything, because somebody may be confirming it in their hearts and not saying anything about it. In which case, you know, sort of you look an idiot, perhaps, if nobody responds, and they're sitting there feeling all smug, but they're the person who's not really going with the flow, not being part of the team. But when you do get that kind of confirmation, somebody says, well, I was just thinking the same thing, right? And particularly when it's not obvious, when it's counterintuitive, that I think is really valuable. So there are just a few thoughts about that. I would really encourage you, having said that we're in danger of getting packed out, to get along to those meetings. I think that they're going to provide an important momentum, and what will happen is that you will find if you miss those meetings, that you'll need to catch up with what's going on there. So, what was the connection between that and what I was supposed to be saying? Hey-ho. Wendy and I have driven back from Bicester this morning. We were at a golden wedding celebration last night, which accounts for my somewhat more formal dress than normal. I'm hoping that I got the word pretty much stuck in my mind. I tell you what I want to do, though, is to go on to the next stage. But in order to do that, I want you to have a look at what's written down there, written on the sheets. Quick skim through it. Have a little look and think about... Oh, no, I'll tell you where I was. Right, rewind. I know. I got there in the end. Hang on. Right. We sang a song this morning, didn't we? You are Lord in this place. Okay, somebody translate that for me. What were you singing? Was it half a pound of tuppenny rice, half a pound of treacle, a nonsense song, or did it have meaning? What did it mean? He has the responsibility.
We as a corporate body submit.
I'm interested just... You are Lord in this short line place. Okay. Let's have a look at that.
Here and now.
Okay. Our focus should be on him. Yeah? I'm not sure whether it is terribly useful, unless people are being undisciplined and obstructive, to be singing this thinking of a corporate setting, building that we're in. Now, we sing it in that setting, but you've got to do some work on it to make it sense. What does Lord mean? Let's be a little bit harsh on this. Yeah, I know he's got the responsibility, I know we submit to him, but let's get clear about what we mean by him being Lord.
Big boss.
The boss. Yeah. You are Lord. You're the one who's in charge in this place. And I do sort of wonder, sometimes when we're singing stuff, whether we are really getting it. Let me explain why this is terribly relevant. Here is a diagram of your mind. And you know, we've said that the mind includes the emotions and the wills. The will. Although some people seem to have multiple wills that lead them in opposite directions. Here's the mind, over here and over here. Here's the throne, okay? When the flesh is in control, who is Lord in this place?
You are.
Yeah, self. In fact, it's a little bit arrogant to say you are, because when we say I'm in charge, what we mean is that what I choose to do is in charge. But what it really means is that my swerve to rot, my lowest common denominator, my tendency to pull down is in charge. Yeah, my flesh, my body is in charge. Okay, so it is possible for us to sing... You are Lord in this place, and to get the reference right. And we're going to have a go, possibly, towards the end of this session, at actually singing that and making it a declaration. So, when's a good time to sing You are Lord in this place? Okay, let's have a look. We've got a list here of areas... where we find that we have difficulty in following Jesus. These are the problem areas. Loving your neighbours, not judging others, tolerating others. So, when you find yourself wanting to judge somebody else, that's a brilliant time to sing You are Lord in this place. Okay? Look, some people down there, we got other Christians. Right? And when we start thinking, who do they think they are, acting like they're so good? Right? That's the time to sing. You are Lord in this place. Right? Who is Lord? Jesus is Lord in my life. So, if we cut away all the stuff, essentially living by the Spirit is about declaring the Lordship of Christ. Now, when, the reason we're talking about the Spirit is we're going from a different dimension, we're looking at it a different way. But just look at these areas: relations, emotions, prayer, obedience, Bible, and have a little brainstorm with other people and answer this question for me. Three reasons that people are likely to give for allowing the flesh to be in charge. Right? This sort of stuff. Weakness, deception, self-gratification, selfishness, ambition, pride, needs, excesses, self-reliance, the immediate, and so on. Three reasons, not you, of course, but other people would use to justify the flesh getting the upper hand, being in charge. And that'll help us move on to new material. You've got a minute to generate a reason, guys. How are we doing, guys? We're nearly there. Okay, you've only got to go for three. In my dreams, I have a room for doing work like this, which is just whiteboard on all the walls, and nobody rubs it out until I am ready for it to be rubbed out. We could actually get some real good group thinking going there, but we've got two boards today, so let's start with this one over here. Somebody, what do you think is the top reason that people would offer for indulging the flesh, giving in to the flesh? Somebody.
It's too hard.
Too hard. Okay, how many people got too hard? Yeah, some of you would have got that. What's another one?
It's where everybody else is doing.
Yep. Everybody's doing it. Now, do you want everybody's doing it, or do you want to be posh and say society? Let's do everybody's doing it. Yeah. Whoops. What else?
It might not be society. It might be everybody in your...
Okay, yeah. Philosophy class up the back. Yeah, but you're right. You said that it's an important point, isn't it? It's the people you're with.
If you're a smaller one, yeah.
But you know that this is because just because Grandad does it does not mean that you can do it as well. Yes, my group is doing it. Yeah, and okay. What's next?
Enjoyment.
Yeah, feels good. Yeah. Who's the Aleister Crowley? Yeah, do what thou wilt. The pagan occult, really nasty, late 19th century, early 20th century thing around that. Enjoyment. What else?
When you're tired.
Tired. Yeah. Do you know there are some people whose names I won't mention, who actually, when they're tired, they escalate it, right? I'm going to die. Yeah? And when people say I'm going to die, it really makes Wendy cross. Yeah? You're not going to die. You're just tired. Yeah? Yeah? When you're tired, really, really key area for indulging the flesh. Anything else?
I'm waiting for a sign.
Waiting for a sign? Mm. Gosh. New one.
I'm coming close with that and the one that said I only do what God gives me the strength to do or calls me to do.
Okay. Let's do waiting for a sign because that's an interesting thing, isn't it? And what was the other one, Rosie?
Only doing what God called me and therefore was strengthened me to do.
I think you said gives me the strength, didn't you, at the beginning? Actually, it sounds like we've more or less exhausted it, but are there any more?
When we're unhappy, stressed, emotional, all of those can be packaged.
Feeling down, sort of feeling bad, yeah.
I'd say also, just to describe that I want to do
it. I don't want to, yeah? Yep. Out else.
Too busy.
Okay.
I think we sometimes justify it as a natural response to things. So,
somebody else may have
need, need.
Yes, there's need, and are you looking at justifiable reactions?
Yeah, I think when you've been wrong,
yeah,
you feel like you've got a reason to react to it.
Yes,
it's
really
useful. It's your instinct. It feels like it's a
natural
human thing. Yeah, it feels like it's normal. People just,
say,
I'm only human.
Yes.
Revenge, bitterness.
Well, actually, that's interesting, because that takes us on another stage to what the flesh produces. Because all those things are varieties of death. Yeah? Good stuff, but let's just... Are we exhausted this now?
Yeah,
what's in it for me? Yeah, that's sheer self-centeredness, yeah? But what's in it for me is a good way of putting that. We're going to take one more. Okay, what was the last one we're going to take?
Too scared.
Too scared, yeah. Okay. Now, over the next few weeks, what we've got happening is that Marion is going to be talking about fruitfulness on the front line next week, and some of what we've been doing here will be foundational to that. The week after that, we've got the morning after the night before, after cabaret, and actually Paul Bell is staying back and is going to lead that time. We're just going to do an acoustic session with us in here on Sunday morning, so that'll be really good to have that as a follow through. The Sunday after that, Dave Day is with you guys, and I say with you because Wendy and I are taking our summer holiday. We're away for a week, and then we'll be back on this about the 26th of October. And at the moment, listening to what you're saying, I think we need to take this stuff really seriously to work through some of these things. Really good thoughts, good stuff coming up here. So these are the variety of excuses that are common. Let's just go and look at some of these things. Have a look at the sheet in front of you and have a little think about whether some people might well say, well, it's too hard, or everybody's doing it. Yeah? Where would that work? How about being justified as far as being patient's concerned? Anybody will be impatient under those circumstances. Not getting down when stuff happens. Let's leave out the whole emotional, the whole mission section and prayer at the moment, and deal with these first two columns here. How would they fit in those sort of circumstances? I need to do that. A real interesting one with this need, because it does affect the area of tiredness. I need to rest. I need to eat. I need time to myself. And those things probably are true. But the only way you're going to know they're true is if you're living according to the Spirit. Okay? Because sometimes Jesus slept. And sometimes Jesus went and prayed. And sometimes Jesus said, it's time for us to be away. But the only guarantee that's going to work and you're going to get the right diagnosis is living according to the Spirit. I wonder if it would be possible. I'm not going to ask you to do this because I don't know quite how one would. How would you look at the week and say, how much of the time have I been living according to the Spirit, living as though Jesus was Lord, and how much of the time have I been living according to the flesh, out of weakness? Yeah? Interesting, isn't it? How would you analyse that? How would you know if that was the case? Because, of course, once we start making personality the absolute, see, I think personality has got more to do with the flesh than it has with the Spirit. Oh, I'm this sort of person, therefore this is the way I react. Okay? However, the Bible doesn't talk very much about personality. And it's not because there wasn't talk about personality at the time. All this stuff about red, yellow, green and blue was around by the time the New Testament was written. But they talk about virtue, they talk about character. Yeah? And character is what comes out of living in the Spirit. Personality is, if we don't watch it, an excuse to live in the flesh. Now, if you take my personality compared to David's personality, in lots and lots of respects, they're different. And each of us can use the way we think we are made as an excuse for not living in the Spirit. In fact, possibly, the more interesting thing is when I think of, I could do with being more like Dave, but I'm not. That's an opportunity for me to see God at work. You see, my grace is sufficient, God says. That's the Lordship of Christ, isn't it? So I can work in an organised way. I'm not sure whether I can sit in the meeting and actually all the time write notes, which I think is a tremendous virtue, because my problem is that I go off thinking about something, and when I look at my sheet again, I think, what happened in the last 10 minutes? I was there, but I haven't got that. I know some of you are like that, and some of you can't imagine what it would be to be like that. There are differences, and there are weaknesses with our personalities as well. Some of us, if we're criticised, recover quickly. Some of us, if we're criticised, it just stays with us. You know, one of the things that a guy called Barney Coombs said, we really do want to hear the critique that you've got, but please don't expect a good reaction straight away. Now that would describe me, because the hard thing for me is to button my lip and think about what somebody has said before I react to it. Other people will say yes, and they'll be meaning no, and it will fester away inside them for days and weeks, and we'll veer to one of those, one side or another. Now, I'm not saying that personality doesn't matter and it doesn't account for differences, but personality can't be an excuse. In fact, to be honest, when it comes to living in the Spirit, and living in the flesh, there's not much that is an excuse. Because God sent the Spirit so we could overcome the flesh, so we could live a different level. We've said that our status is that we're in Christ. Okay? Very often, our state is that we're in the flesh. Let me just come back to the Bible passage. I'd like you to take this sheet away, and if you get chance, add some stuff to this about areas where you find it difficult to follow Jesus. Right, going on. Okay, it says, you, however, are not in the realm. What is a realm? A realm is where there's a king. Yeah? You're not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Now, you really have to watch this statement, because what it can lead to is great condemnation. Right? We can end up saying, oh, well, I don't do so good. So perhaps the reason for that is that Christ doesn't live in me. That I'm not really a disciple of Jesus. No, rewind. Take it the other way round. Because Jesus lives in me, because the Spirit of God is within me, it is possible for me to overcome. It is possible for me to live in the Spirit. Grace is available. And in a way, to take it and say that, if I'm not doing the good stuff, it means that I'm not really a Christian, is the easy way out. That's a cop-out. Yeah? But Christ is in us. He's the hope of glory. And it gives us the potential to live in a different kind of way. Okay, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. Don't worry about that, that's really complicated. I'm not sure I understand it. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the Spirit who lives in you. Right, now, I want to load on you a really, really big pressure this morning. Here's the pressure. If you follow Jesus, then the Spirit lives in you. Okay? And why is that a pressure? The reason it's a pressure is because it totally moves every excuse. Okay? It is no longer possible to say, I cannot. Because the Spirit lives in us. Yeah? Which is why when I started last week, I said, we're not born winners and we're not born losers. We are all born choosers. And if the Spirit of God lives in us, there is a source of strength which is bigger than the flesh. Okay? I'll tell you when I get there. I've probably disappeared and gone to heaven when I've reached that point where I'm living totally out the Spirit. But I want to believe that it's possible. I don't want to believe that it's impossible. I don't want to live my life expecting failure. I want to believe that in every situation I can be more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. In fact, I think it says that at the end of this chapter. Okay, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, right? We've got a tendency, we've got a need. But it's not to the flesh to live according to it, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Okay, that's a fact. The flesh is death. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. So here we are. And with this we're going to finish. How do you deal with the flesh? You put it to death. Okay? So, if you find something rising within you, okay, let me give you a silly work example for me. Tomorrow morning, I have to open a file. Okay? When I open a file, my supervisor will have critiqued an article that I've written that I'm very close to getting published. and I know what will happen. I will look down the side of the Word document and there will be comments in red. And my reaction to them will always initially be profoundly negative. Okay? Now, what I'm planning to do and what I've been doing over the weekend is finding my mallet and my nail and killing that attitude. Yeah? Because these guys who are making comments on my stuff are there to help me. They're there to make it better. And even if they're not, even if they're biased and looking at material from the wrong point of view, and if they don't know as much about it as I do, I still need to take into account what they've got to say. So I nail down that attitude. And every bad attitude that I find within me, I nail it down. Every time I find myself saying, well, I'm justified in doing this, okay, I have a little think and think, Jesus would have been justified in saying, blow that for a game of soldiers, I'm not going to the cross. I didn't do this sin, it's them who did it, not me, why should I take the blame? So saying I'm justified doesn't make very much sense. What's in it for me? Yeah, well, I have to say that taking my supervisor's comments seriously is there's a lot that's in that for me, because if I don't take peer review seriously, I don't get published, and that's that. Yeah? I'm too scared. That's always one of the things that make... I don't know whether you're ever like that, but when I get stuff that I know has got comments on it, I have the feeling of being scared of opening it to find out what the comments are as well. But there are times when it's worth taking that on. I need to do it while I'm not too busy. I don't want to. There are times, aren't there, where I don't want to actually overcomes us if we live according to the flesh. Yeah? Going through all of those things. So, the way you deal with the flesh is not indulging it. It's not saying it's just one of those things. It's actually putting it to death. Now, Paul says a very interesting thing. I can't remember how it's translated in the newer translations, but in the old translations, it's translated as, I die daily. Jesus said, take up your cross daily and follow me. I can guarantee that you're going to have failure days as well as success days. But just because you had a failure day yesterday, today's a new start. The Spirit lives within you. It's possible to change. We've not got time to spend time singing the song. Probably if I hadn't done those deviations on the way, we would have done. But let's just have a little think about it as we pray. We're before God, just going to pick up the words of that song, you are Lord in this place. Think about your mind, yeah? Which is not just your thoughts, but your emotions and will as well. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. Think about where you're going to be tomorrow and begin to say something serious. You are Lord in this place. You know, that word confess in the Bible gets translated very badly because it's a very simple thing. It says to say the same thing. Yeah? So you can actually turn that round and say that I am going to say the same thing as God does. That he is Lord. His Son is Lord in my life. The Spirit is active in my life. The Spirit is on the throne. The Spirit is going to be where it is. And I'm going to put my will and my thoughts and my effort behind saying, He is Lord. Father, we pray against the deception that comes, that drives us to distraction by setting ourselves too high a standard. But we do declare that we want to live by the Spirit. Father, I pray that in the gradual movements you make in our lives, that we will be able to work hard according to the work that you're doing inside us. Amen. Some communication, some revelation. Go back, read Romans 8 and say, Lord, please make sense of this to me. Yeah? Okay, that's it.